Hello, welcome to Survivor's Jewels, where we share the stories of survivors. I'm your host, Kendra Hall, and we have a phenomenal, very special guest here today. Can you please introduce yourself and tell us what you do?
Hey, I'm Kashif Jones. I'm a community activist, former incarcerated, and an entrepreneur.
Wow. So just the fact that you said that you're an entrepreneur, which is amazing. I love that. And you're also a community leader. So that shows that you're out there in the community. You're helping. You're bringing that difference in. So tell us a little bit about you being a community leader and how that happened.
So in 2009, I was arrested for homicide. I ended up spending 11 years in prison. I've been home about 3.5 years. So upon coming home, seeing how the things going on in the city, while I live in Philadelphia, there's a lot of violence going on. And I was one of the people, you know, I've been through it. So I see where we going wrong in our community, and I felt like I wanted to do something. So I started an organization, which is called Relentless Community Development. And the things we do like, I call them side hustle workshops. So I might bring a DJ in. He might teach the kids how to DJ. That way they can make money on the side. Or a hairstylist might teach them how to braid. Do a bunch of giveaways, like sneaker giveaways, coat giveaways, things like that. And so the organization, I have a partner in this organization. It's the judge that presided over my sentencing trial. So the judge that sent me to prison is my partner in this organization.
Wow. My goodness. Not only are you doing such amazing things, that spark, you know, within you to change has attracted, of course, someone who put you into the system in the first place. Mm-hmm. Now, how does that feel?
Well, to me, it's not no real feeling because I just wanted to get something done. So my reason for at least, you know, asking the judge to join me was I see the violence. I know the first thing for that to stop, like one of the first things we need to do is unite. So I can't expect these kids to unite if I'm not showing it. So
Right. That
was the person that put me in the worst position I was in life. If I could forgive him and we can do something positive together, I feel like I'm showing them that they could forgive this person that might have did something worse or less, but we can make a difference, make it better.
Absolutely. And that's so strong when you speak about forgiveness and how important that is. Mm-hmm. On both ends, right? You know,
Yeah. And
the fact that you guys are working together in this initiative is absolutely so special in so many different ways, because it shows how almost like a circle of life, right?
Mm-hmm.
So tell us how you were able to pull him in and or how this collaboration came about.
So when, like I said, when I first started the organization, it was kind of like nerve-wracking to me trying to reach out to people to get help. A lot of people, I know people coming to it, you know, nobody knew me. So it's like, I got to get help from somewhere. I got a job to do. And I'm like, hold up. This guy did tell me that if I come home and do the right thing, he'll help. So I just reached out to him and he said, yeah.
Now, during that, and that's wonderful, you know, that he was able to help and you were looking for help, right? And it just took you to ask. And a lot of times we need help and we don't want to ask, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to be vulnerable and say we need somebody. But did you have that feeling at all? And what were, you know, how did we combat that if you have had that feeling?
I did in the past, but it wasn't really nothing to it when you want something. It's like,
right.
I want this so bad. So it's like, I'm not worrying about what anybody got to say. I'm just going to, I mean, you know, some people might lose their morals doing it. With principles and morals intact, I still, like, I got something to do.
Right.
This is what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, I knew it was meant to be because, like, I did all the paperwork myself. I never filed for a 501c. And everybody was like, it's going to take about 4 months. It came back in 2 weeks.
Wow.
with a charitable status. So I was like, that's God right there telling me, like, you gotta do this.
And it was sitting on your, sounds like it was sitting on your chest and your heart. You had to do it. Like, it was just something that, and so you tell us, what does that feeling feel like, if you can describe it?
So it's like, for me, I planned this. Like, a lot of the things I did, I planned while I was in prison. So I had what I call a black book. There is a lot of pages in there that I could turn. So it was, I planned the organization, but I was home already 2.5 years before I started it. And what made me really do it was, like, I felt like I was lying to myself. Like, why you ain't do this? You did everything else. What is you waiting for? So I was like, I can't keep playing with myself.
So you manifested it. You manifested it. You know, you wrote it down and you made it real.
Yep.
That's wonderful. So 11 years or 10, 11 years you're incarcerated.
11 years, yeah.
How was that whole experience in essence? If you, not that you can surmise it, but what would you say that from you, the beginning, the middle, and towards the end? And did you know that you would only do a certain amount of time, or was that always in limbo?
See, in the beginning, like during the court procedures, I was facing life plus 77 years. So at once I went to trial and it was like not guilty of first degree or third degree, I knew I was coming home. So that's where it was like, ain't no plan. You could have got life. Now you about to come home. I wasn't in prison. I mean, I was in prison for 11 years, but mentally I probably was only in there for like four. Probably like the first 3 years, I was real angry. But after that, I got over it. It was like, I gotta go home. Right. I'm going home eventually. Mind you, I just turned 22. The mother of my child was pregnant with my daughter. She was only 2 months pregnant. So all this going on.
Right.
When I came home, she was 10. That was like the first time I seen her outside of prison, 10 years old.
Wow. And so let's even step a little further back to the fact of you getting to the point where you're incarcerated, right? What happened, do you feel, in essence, if anything, in your childhood that may have presented these different situations to you?
No, I'm glad you said that. See, for me, it was growing up poor. So for me, I always wanted money. It was like, we need money to get out of this. And that's what got me in trouble, going at the money the wrong ways. So some people don't understand, but, and you know, I'm a kid at the time too, but you open your refrigerator and you don't have nothing in there but like an onion and a half a jar of mayonnaise. So it's like, how I'm going to go get something to eat? What I'm going to do? Or your sister cycle may be on. She need pads or whatever. What I'm going to do? Oh, I just got caught stealing out of Rite Aid. It was embarrassing. So the next step, oh, this guy walking past you, he got jewelry on, he's shining. How you get that money? Oh, I'll show you. That's where it started for me, not knowing what comes with when you step in that lane. Is a lot more than just selling drugs, getting money. You gotta protect stuff, you gotta help people, so that's where it started for me. And me, as you can see, I'm relentless and I'm like, I take a lot of things serious. So when I chose that life, that was my life. So I really was in it, like, took it serious. But that's what I say about today. It's a lot different.
Right. Definitely so different. And the fact of, which brings also some things full circle, is the fact that you as a child were looking for ways to make money, right? And you saw the need there. And now you're teaching a legitimate way for you to turn, you know, a passion into some way to bring some money in for kids.
Yeah.
How beautiful is that?
So that's the thing. Like, for me, it take, like, you couldn't really tell me anything. You had to show me. So I know most people, especially us as black people, visual, got to see it. I could point at the most dirtiest person in the world right now and tell you he rich. Most people would say he not rich. But I'll point at this guy, he got on all fake jewelry, whatever. they gonna believe it. And that's how I was. So you had to show me. So what really like hit me, like, don't go that route no more. I had a so I got a car lot, and in the car lot we do like a few mixed things. I sell cars, clean them, fix them. Well, somebody brought me a car that needed a transmission, but they had a warranty. The warranty company gave me $6,300 to fix it, but I never fixed it. I just made two phone calls. The first phone call, I paid $700 for the transmission. The second one, $300 for somebody else to put it in. So I made $5,300 off two phone calls, and that's where it hit. Like, I'm never selling drugs again. And people need to know that you can do this without, because I couldn't count how many sales I made $5,300 at once selling drugs, but I just made $5,300 off making two phone calls. So.
Right. Because that's still the end result. That's what you're looking for. You're looking, you were looking to make the money.
The money.
Right.
And even when it comes to the lifestyle, some people may say, oh, they do this, they do that, whatever. Even if that's what you want to do, I still go to the club. I still might buy a bottle, but I just don't do it the way I used to do. Or, you know, it's my era, like my generation. So, of course, I indulge in it, but I don't have to indulge in it the same way.
Right, right. Things have changed. Your mindset has elevated to this point. And then you're also responsible too for elevating other minds now. Mm-hmm. Right. So tell us a little bit about how long you've been operating the program. I think you said about 2.5 years, or how long?
No, I started last year. It's been a year.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, August made it a year. So we was having doing a lot of things. I promise you, I started it without knowing what I was doing. First thing, we started in August. End of August, I said, I'm having a coat giveaway in October. Didn't know nothing. And we gave away 300 coats that day.
Wow. So, wonderful.
Everything been going good since. But it's still kind of hard. Like, you know, raising money, still having that mindset, like, I don't want to ask. And, like, I was working in city council, too. So I can't go to the city for money because I had that city job. So I started a clothing line.
Oh, wonderful.
I got it on right here.
Oh, it's dope. I love it.
Fill the material.
Oh, it feels amazing. Wow.
So it's called Modern Language. And I came up with the idea of this clothing line in prison, too. When I used to call home while I was in prison, all they used to say, these kids speaking a different language. They acting crazy out here. So I'm like, well, we got to come up with a language that's combined. So you take the language of the youth, the language of the older generation, and make a modern language. So I came up with the clothing line. And I wanted it to be top quality. I'm sorry for not having it on. The full sweatsuit, but it's a sweatsuit. Zippers on all the pockets. But when you purchase it, a portion of the proceeds will go to the organization.
So. Oh, wonderful. I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that. And you're doing so many different things with this. And you're now being able to teach the children, what does it look like to have a clothing line as well?
Now, the first initiative we're doing, so I'll say prior to end of October, I'll be doing, so I'm going to teach kids. I'm going to do a workshop, an LLC workshop, where I'm going to take the kids, show them how to apply for LLC and pay for theirs. So they can leave what they own and know how to do it and show people. So I'm going to do 15 kids at a time. I want to do as many kids as possible.
Wow, my goodness. The fact that you're a trailblazer in so many different ways. You're helping to show that people can change, mm-hmm. right? And just where you started from is not where you're going to end up at.
Not at all.
So what are some of the things that you tell yourself to keep you motivated?
It's just the want. You have to want it. Like, I want to go back.
Right. Right. And you and when you think of the kids that, you know, when you look at yourself and you say, you know what could I have told myself back then that could have taken me out of this place?
That's why I go so hard on the education of how to make it without, because like I said, that's not every kid. Every kid not going outside getting in trouble because they wanted money. But I know for me, that's what it was for me. So for people that got that issue or that problem, look, I know another way you can make some money, same amount of money, you know, maybe not as fast, but it's going to be there.
Right. And it's more stable.
Yeah, you
right?
don't have to worry about watching your back or anything like that.
Absolutely. And you're being taught so many lessons about business as well as finance, mm-hmm. which is so critical. I'm sure you know now even more so. To learn what does that look like, right?
I'm still having issues.
And it's a learning experience for everybody, mm-hmm. right? But now these are the levels now.
Yes.
It's not just about the quick money. It's about the long money. The long term and the investment really into yourself. And that's what you're teaching these kids is really to invest in themselves.
Invest in
right?
yourself. Sell your ideas. People don't understand. Your ideas is... That's the money.
Right. And you got these ideas for a purpose. Mm-hmm. They weren't just put into you for no reason.
Yeah, you
got
to act.
Mm-hmm. And I think that one of the pluses is that, you know, you brought up that feeling that you knew, right? It was an innate knowing that I'm meant for something more. Yeah. I'm meant for something greater. And so, and to cultivate that in the way that you did, just to really showcases, you know, your drive and your dedication to really helping and to propel and to transform mm-hmm. Your life as well as others. So how can people reach you in all that you're doing?
So as far as the organization, it's called Relentless Community Development. You can reach us on Instagram, Relentless_CDORG. And for the clothing line, Modern_Language Philly. Modern language, short sets, sweatsuits, kids and adults, dresses for the ladies. Hit the number in the caption.
Love it. Thank you so much for being on Survivor Shoes Akeem. I so appreciate you and all that you're doing and all that you do and all that you're helping with our youth. I mean, I think that the youth are our future, and for you to come in and showcase what life is, right? Mm-hmm. What it could be and all that, you know, really the parameters for financial freedom and giving them those tools is key. It's critical. It's needed. And you are such a blessing.
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you.